Yeah, I love the energy of working with young people. And when they are motivated by, they have this great idea, they saw a TED Talk, they read something in class, and the idea isn't to push that down. The idea is to kind of create a framework around it where they can use that energy and motivation to turn that into action, to kind of define the scope of it a little bit, have them imagine what that idea might look like when it's real, and find them the resources and the tools they might need to turn that inspiration into action.
Young people are sometimes not good listeners, so defining a problem to solve is perhaps a challenge. How do you get them to focus on that?
I think teaching anyone, young people, but anyone, to effectively listen to the community is one of the most important things that I can train someone to do. That just because you have a fantastic idea that you are so sure the community needs or the world needs, if you aren't listening to whoever your consumer is going to be, it's going to miss the mark. And people feel like just because they're so super passionate about something, it can't fail. And I think,
Well, it
boy,
can.
it actually can. And boy, do we have examples of times that we have put what we think is best for a community above what a community, what is actually best for that community. They know what's best for them. So the idea is to find the intersection between where a student's kind of heart and passion is going with what opportunity is open at that time in the community that they're trying to serve. Our idea is really to kind of come alongside that community.
What are some great ideas that turned out to be clunkers because the community didn't embrace it?
We did a large study on the lack of spaces for bilingual early childhood. So 0 to 3, maybe preschool spots that would be for Spanish-speaking families. As there are more Spanish-speaking families in our community, are there enough spots in early childhood where they could enroll their children? So we could count how many spots in the classrooms, finding out there weren't that many, and as the population starts to rise, there's going to be a gap. So we did all this research. We thought we were doing all this great, finding all these great materials and all these best practices. And then when we finally talked to families who spoke Spanish with children who were 0 to 5, they said, "Yeah, no thanks. We don't like dropping off our children at places where strangers would watch our children. We like to watch our children. We watch each other's children. We take care of ourselves. So thanks for this nice, shiny report, but good luck with that." And so,
No demand.
So, we probably don't have enough spots in town if families wanted that service, but that's not the service they wanted. So, there was this disconnect between what researchers wanted to research and what that service population was really looking for.
On the flip side, what are some examples of kids who had passion and an area and ended up listening to the community and fine-tuning their original thoughts into something that really worked?
Well, I think the tool library was a good example of that. Matt Lalonde had this great idea for a tool library, and one of his research methodologies was to walk around the West Side and talk to people who were working on their homes and see if they were interested in this type of service. Just down the street, would that be a value? If you needed something for the project you're working on today and you didn't have it, would having a tool library in your neighborhood help you finish it? Would you walk into a place and borrow a drill? Or is that something that people just would not think to do? It's not a traditional research method to walk around all day, but it got us the information we needed, and we were able to provide, really shape the type of service that the tool library was going to be so that it could be useful to exactly the type of person we were hoping it would serve.
Did it turn out differently from other tool libraries in other areas because of the community input here in Bloomington Normal on the west side of Bloomington?
Well, tool libraries are a really fascinating thing. thing. The core of them, I think, is the same, regardless of the community you go to. But what we are really learning as we develop the tool library is, you know, people don't need hammers. They don't need the basic things. They need specialized tools. And there's been interest in automotive tools. And there's been this interest now in, someone donated a sewing machine to us recently that, right, it's kind of a tool. It's not the tool we were thinking. You know, they don't, I don't know that every tool library has a sewing machine, but we have one now because maybe that's something that people want to use. And if you don't have one, maybe that's a great thing to be able to check out. I think one of the great things about these community projects is we're always listening. We're always adaptable. And if there was this growing need for tents or cake pans, I think we'd be willing to go in that direction because, after all, it's designed to be a community service, so it should be responsive to the community that it aims to serve.
There are some things that young people wouldn't automatically think of because they're young. They haven't honed what adults would think of as political skills or coalition building skills.
Right.
How do you get them to become aware of the need for that sort of thing and then to go forward with it?
Right. Right. Sometimes they just don't know what they don't know yet. And that's why I think those of us who work at a college or university or are on staff at a nonprofit, are a local leader in some way, need to kind of create a network around young people who are motivated to help them with those connections that are going to make their ideas so that they can develop those ideas and actually see something come to a result. I think that social capital that we could all bring and say, you know, you should talk to this person or someone tried that, or you need to look up what happened the last time someone attempted that a similar effort. And if we can kind of guide them, not give them the answers, but challenge them to make those calls and do the research and talk to people and make those connections, it really helps them. And that I think that process of discovery is really exciting to them. I don't think anyone thinks, I have this amazing idea and then it's going to fall into place beautifully and resources will just drop out of the sky. I don't think any young person thinks that's going to happen, but they really do need, appreciate, value all those connections. And I think this town is really great about helping young people with those ideas. Folks here are so generous. And when I say, you know, if you want to build that XYZ thing, here are the people you should probably talk to. And if they follow through and they call that person, that referral, and they say, you know, Deborah said I should probably talk to you, I have this idea, they come back and just say, wow, they were so helpful. They gave me this link and this information, and I'm going to visit them next week, and we're going to walk around or bike around. I just find people are so kind and generous with the young people in our idea that step forward and say, I want to try something.
How do the young people then internalize the idea of layered partnerships and coalitions too? And how have you seen them take it where perhaps you haven't led them?
We had a student take my grant writing class. She was an English literature major, not a lot of community experience. She took the grant writing class and she partnered with the Shakespeare Festival here because that was one of her many loves through her major. And we wrote a grant to bring a hip-hop Shakespeare artist to the regional alternative school because one of the things my student was really passionate about was exposing students in high school to Shakespeare and the arts. So we weren't quite sure where this idea was going to go, but we kept making calls and we kept exploring best practices and we got a meeting with the regional alternative school and they said, yeah, that sounds interesting to us. We think our students would really enjoy that. And they weren't able to offer as wide of a variety of arts programming at their school, so they thought maybe that would fold in nicely. We found a couple artists that had great ideas and their experience, and that folded in nicely. We were able to write a grant. We got some money. That was great. And then the school, the regional office of education, was excited about all this innovative work that was happening. They decided they could give credit to the students that took that summer camp. And a kid was able to graduate on time. So my English lit major, who had never written a grant, didn't know where the regional alternative school was, ended up creating this really interesting program by pooling resources and working with the festival and working with the school and working with the regional office. And she has since moved away out of the community, but that summer camp and arts idea goes on. So it happened again this year, even though she was nowhere in this community. So I love when students, in a very short time frame, can kind of bubble up ideas and they become kind of the, I think everyone that she pulled together to work on this idea were happy to help. But it kind of took that student to get everyone looking in the same direction to say, yeah, I could stretch a little bit in that direction, or yes, I can offer some advice or resources in that way. We didn't intend to start a summer camp program for credit for at-risk youth at an alternative school. That was not necessarily the plan. But we started with a simple and good idea and kind of took it for a walk, and this is what happened.
How do you export this model to other people, to other places?
You know, I think what makes what we get to do here in this community really special is it's a 2 degree of separation community. It's not 6 degrees. I think it's 2. It might be 1.5. That when students have ideas, when they're inspired, you know, it takes us a couple phone calls or emails, and they're usually connected to people who are willing to help them. And that's what I think makes this work really exciting, and how we can produce results really quickly. And we can send students then back to their home communities, or maybe hopefully they stay, and they feel like change agents. They feel like they know what they need to do because they've had success. So the next time they have a great idea, they think, okay, who am I trying to serve? Have I talked to them? Who else cares about this idea? Who can I talk to? I had a student go into the Peace Corps, so from Kazakhstan, and he's working with a women's empowerment group, and he sends me an email and he says, hey, that stuff you did, it works here too. He said, that worksheet you made us do, I get it. It works here too. You know, that when I go out and talk to people about what they want and I listen and I do that, boy, they, you know, things happen.
Deborah Halperin of Illinois Wesleyan University is on the board of directors of the West Bloomington Revitalization Project. She's a TEDx speaker in the upcoming sessions at the Normal Theater. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.